Welcome to The Property Beat, where real estate is part of your life. The coffee is hot, the conversation lively, and we're talking real estate. I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, along with co-host Lisa P., bringing you news and information from the real estate world. So pull up that chair, get out the coffee and pen and pencil, and let's join in the fun. All right. Good morning out there, everyone, and welcome to the Property Beat here at KEST 1450 AM. My name is Cliff Perotti. I'm your host, and I'm here with Miss Lisa P. Good morning, Miss Lisa.
Good morning, Cliff. Do you hear this sound?
What's that?
Can you hear that, anybody? It's my coffee, but it's empty. Just thought I'd say something.
And joining us in the booth is Anthony. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, everyone.
How's it going?
Very well.
You get here really early, we were noticing.
Yeah, I'm kind of a morning person. Sorry.
All right. Well, this week, this is going to be an interesting show. This week, we're going to be delving into the niche of estate transition services. So, you know, as we all have, you know, we get our parents are aging, and as we have to deal with their transition from either, you know, their residence of many years to, you know, it could be we're putting them into an assisted care home, or they're downsizing or something, but they have to go through all their different...
Or they're moving in with you.
Or okay, there's a really scary thought. So we have a guest this morning from Silver Rain Estate Transition Services, Jane Lott, who I hope will be calling in soon. And so that'll be fun. It'll be a good conversation because this affects all of us at one time or another. Should be interesting.
Do you know that they're calling us the sandwich generation?
What does that mean?
Well, we're the inside, so we're like the filling of the sandwich. And one piece of bread is our aging parents,
right.
And the other piece is our children. So we're kind of stuck in the middle. So you're become an empty nester because your kids move out, and then now you're dealing with your parents who, in some cases, are childlike. So you're kind of stuck
okay.
in the middle.
All right. Well, that's a really depressing thought. Thank you very much. So, folks, if you have a real estate question or you have an estate transition question about a parent or for yourself, give us a call at 415-431-8255. Again, that's 431-8255. So before we get to all that, Lisa P., we're going to check in with you. So how's the week going this week?
Well, it's been quite an interesting week. You know, I don't know if you folks out there have found that getting a loan these days is a bit of a problem. It's kind of problematic in that everybody sets out with good intentions to get their loan on time, typically within 17 days. And at the time, the loan broker saying all that's good, and then things slow down, not because nobody has done their job, but because there's a backup at the OK Corral, meaning
right.
that these lenders...
They're all backed up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then you have the agent, the listing agent on the other side, jamming it down your throat every day, telling you they're going to kick you out of primary position, your client's going to lose their deposit, and it is highly stressful and
wow.
often unnecessary. So,
Well, we might have some mailbag about that today. So that's good. That's good. I like that. Well, you know, it's one of those situations where, unfortunately, sometimes the real estate agents are in the way. They don't really help. They hurt the process. They add stress to the process, I'll say.
Well, I wonder if they're using that to their clients, saying that we really manage our transactions and we're, you know, riding it.
Yeah, overly.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We ride the other agent into the ground.
Exactly.
All right. Well, great. Well, we'd like to encourage you to become part of the conversation here at the Property Beat, again, by calling 431-8255. You can also, what else can they do? They can email us.
At questions@thepropertybeat.com.
There it is.
Or they can follow us on Twitter.
At the Property Beat, where we monitor our feed constantly. And in case you miss a show but want to keep up with the conversation, you can visit us at Show Art Archives. It's early in the morning here at iTunes or at theproperty.com.
What's happening on September 12th?
What's happening on September? Well, funny you should ask.
I know I'll be getting an hour more sleep.
An hour more sleep. We're moving here at KEST 1450. We're going to be moving our time slot on September 12th. We're going to be moving to an hour later in the morning, so 7 a.m. on Thursdays, starting on September 12th, but we'll bring that more information about that as we get closer. So we're going to take a quick look at some real estate stories right after this. Hi, this is Cliff Perotti, host of The Property Beat. So you may not know this, but we are sponsored by a local real estate company here in Northern California called Lyon & Foster International.
The good folks at Lyon & Foster are an international luxury real estate company, helping home buyers and sellers, as well as investors, whether they're buying or selling a home locally here in the Bay Area or abroad in a foreign country. So if you'd like some help or like to discuss those opportunities, please give the folks at Lyon & Foster a call. You can reach them toll-free at 855-367-4200. Again, 855-367-4200. Or you can email them at thepropertybeat@lyonandfoster.com. Again, that's thepropertybeat@lyonandfoster.com.
Right in my ear.
She goes, she's whispering to me, don't yell, don't yell. Wow, I gotta yell.
This time I'm gonna yell ahead of you.
It makes me.
Only mine's gonna be more like a screech.
Oh,
like,
no, don't do that.
From Psycho.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, it's time for real estate stories. What do you got?
Well, have you ever looked, folks, have you ever been looking at a property for sale and let's say it's listed for $10.995 million? And you're looking at it, and the next day you turn the page, and now it's $12,995.
Oh, it went up?
Yeah. And what is your immediate thought?
Like, what, are they nuts?
That's kind of always mine as well. Well, in this particular case, this happened with Ellen and Portia, Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi.
Oh.
And the reason why they decided to increase their purchase price was they're including all of their furniture of their house.
Oh, so it's fully furnished.
Exactly. And it, from rumor has it that the furniture is worth the $2 million. It's just, it's a real great deal. But recently, Ellen, she's got quite a few little houses on this compound, and she actually did a Good Samaritan. When they had the fire in L.A., she actually let the firefighters come in, spend the night, grab some food and some water, and hang out at her place.
That's cool. That's a great. That's a good story.
It was.
I like that.
It was, and I'm probably they're really sad that they're going to be, she's selling that, and they won't have a really cool place to hang out when there's another fire, because there always will be.
Okay. Well, I want you to know, folks, if you've been keeping up with the royal family in London, it's time to, you know, and you've got the new prince. What's his name? Charles? Is that
Charles?
The little one.
What's his middle name?
I have no idea. So if you want to get close to the royal family, you know, you won't be alone, because the United Kingdom is experiencing a first-time home buyer surge, a six-year high in the UK. They had a total of a 30% increase of first-time home buyers. Their average loan amount was for £117,000 for acquisition loans, which is interesting. And they expect mortgage rates to be continuing on. So when we talk about the marketplace recovering, we're not only looking locally, we're looking globally. And so I always like to keep up with that kind of stuff. So UK first-time home buyers, good job. You're out there doing it. What else do you got?
Lindsay Lohan.
Uh-huh.
She's back in in the spotlight.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I think I heard her in an interview last week, and she sounded really good.
Uh-huh.
And I always have loved her because she was cute as a bug's ear in Parent Trap.
Okay.
But anyway, she has been out looking for apartments in New York. And she stumbled across one. Now listen to this. She is renting an apartment in New York for $2,600 a month.
$2,600 a month, that's it?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. It's a little two-bedroom.
It's got to be a, yeah.
Yeah, and she's renting it in a building, and her coach is also living in the same building, and her coach isn't an acting coach, it's a sober coach. So she's got someone living with her that's keeping her sober.
Hey, that's like that television show with Sherlock Holmes, where he had his alcoholic anonymous person living with him.
Hmm.
So that's actually, a sober coach is actually a really good idea.
I think that's good. So I think little...
She's on her way back.
Yes, I was going to call her. Can I say okay.
What'd she just say?
Fire.
Oh. No, you can't say that.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, anyway, she's doing well, so I wish her well because she's always been a little favorite of mine.
All right. Well, you know, we were at the Inman Conference, folks, if you don't know, about a month ago now. And the Inman Conference is here in San Francisco, occurs every July, and they bring together industry professionals. And we've got some good radio or some good clips that we'll be putting onto a blended show on our podcast. But I was surprised this morning to see an article that appeared that I can't even believe we're talking about this anymore, where it became obvious through some of the conversations and presentations and various different councils that were being dealt with, that real estate agents were signing contracts and disclosures on behalf of their clients.
Were they doing this via DocuSign?
No. Well, it comes up because of electronic signatures, because one of the questions is, how do you know
right.
that, in fact, the client has actually signed? And they're saying, well, no. What's happening is that as people are dealing with these very high-end clients who are very busy, and it might be an actor or an athlete or somebody who's on the road, and they're just traveling, and they don't want to be bothered with minuscule stuff. And so maybe there's a disclosure that needs to be initialed or signed, or, oh, they missed a spot on the contract that needed to be initialed. And so the agents are being told, you know, I'm too busy, just sign it for me, just handle it. And so some of these agents, it's becoming apparent, are actually doing this for their clients, which, by the way, folks, is a huge no-no.
So do they get their hands slapped, or are they losing their license?
Well, that you can, in fact, lose your license if you don't have the authority, written authority, to do that. Or you could be creating a situation where it's a non-binding agreement because the client himself has never actually signed it. Them telling you to do something is not, you know, there's no point where it says, oh, you must follow direction of a client and, by the way, commit forgery at the same time. You just actually have to say, you know, I can't do that. It places my license at risk. Now, there is one way where an agent could theoretically sign on behalf of their client, and that's when they have a
power of attorney.
A limited power of attorney. But you really shouldn't do that or have your agent do that for you. Why?
You're getting a lot of trouble.
Oh, that is good. Yeah. Well, it's actually a conflict of interest if you think about it, because an agent has an interest in closing the deal, and how would you?
But if they're just signing these ridiculous boilerplate disclosures, what's the risk there?
Big. Yeah, you can definitely lose your license. In fact, the case that an agent got nailed on dealt with a real estate transfer disclosure statement. So that's not a boilerplate form.
Right,
granted.
No, I got that.
But they had the copy, and the agent spilled coffee on it. And so in spilling coffee on it, it was stained. And so the agent decided to redo the contract, having the original one, and just copied it over and then initialed the bottom of it and sent it on, right? But she retained the actual
copy.
Yeah, but in court they said that doesn't matter. That document has to be done by the seller, and you can't sign for the seller.
So what would happen if your client called and said, you can go sign these documents for me, and you had it on video? Would that hold up?
No. Unfortunately, we are a law of written authorization. Okay. So the answer is no. So that's our real estate stories for this week. We'll be right back with our mailbag. Welcome back to the Property Beat, and it's time to hear from you, our listeners, as we open our mailbag. Go ahead.
We happen to have a question from good old Janet in Mill Valley,
California.
She submits the following question. My agent promised me a 20% referral or 20% commission if I used him. Is this legal?
Oh, you mean a rebate?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry.
What do you think? Are they legal? Are rebates legal?
Yes.
In the state of California, they are absolutely legal. So
it has to be disclosed.
It does have to be disclosed.
To all parties?
You know, actually, it does not have to be disclosed to the seller, but it does need to show up for your lender. It has to show up on what's called your HUD-1 statement. Folks, if you are getting a rebate for any of these kind of companies, just know that it is not legal in all states, but in California, it is. It just simply has to be disclosed. So there you go, Janet.
Does the seller or buyer, whomever's getting this rebate, do they have to pay taxes on it?
Actually, that's an interesting question. Theoretically, they have received money, so they would have to receive a 1099 from the real estate company, and I'll almost guarantee you that they don't give that. That's interesting. That's a really good question.
Well, I just wanted them to know that nothing is free.
Nothing is free. Yeah, and there's always a good question as to whether that's, you know, it's really funny. I used to work for a company where they did a rebate situation, but what you would find is that a lot of times the buyers, by the time they got to escrow, had completely forgot that they weren't going to get a rebate of any kind.
Oh, so it was like Christmas.
It was like a Christmas thing, yeah. It's like, oh, and then the agents would go, why are we giving them rebates? I don't even remember that. So anyway.
Because you promised it.
There it is.
So are you? I know you were working hard last night on a little ditty, a little limerick. Are you going to share it with
all
of us? I
am. So our mailbag, the first. So our mailbag is coming from me.
Ah, okay, you old bag.
All right, so I got, I got a little limerick. So I get my Irish accent on it. It's called "Get Out of the Way." It says, "Here we go."
Okay.
While trying to buy a house one day, my scheduled loan did experience delay. The lender had excuses one after the other, but it didn't matter to me, you see, for all I felt was, oh, brother. My agent, a diligent fellow indeed, requested 5 days more to get my loan, but the seller's agent replied, it's your buyer's problem, not my seller's nor mine. It's your problem indeed, and your problem alone. Well, I was taken aback and in shock, for surely you could see that the loan was a lock. But then a question or two arose in my mind, not the kind of questions that will patiently wait in line. I asked, most perplexed, what kind of a boob gives an answer like that? What kind of adult hits his own head with a bat? Surely you see we're all doing our best. Surely you know this is a lender-caused mess. In a tone most severe, I said to the agent, your comment causes me much dismay. And I asked him sternly, can you not just get out of the way?
Very.
Yay!
I'm going to forward all of this on to the agents that are writing. These are their agents.
Uh-oh.
So maybe they can, quote, get out of the way.
There it is.
All righty.
So how can they get in on the mailbag?
They can send us an email at the website at thepropertybeat.com. They can, well, they don't want to call us.
No, there's a button at the top of our webpage.
Oh,
at
I
the property.
Forgot that.
Yeah.
I failed that test.
There's a
it.
Button that says submit questions to the show, and you can go ahead and click on that. So we will.
So is it time for us to take a break and get back to our guests?
It is time for that.
Woo-hoo! All righty then.
Anthony Savis.
Hi, this is Cliff Parati, host of The Property Beat. So you may not know this, but we are sponsored by a local real estate company here in Northern California called Lyon & Foster International. The good folks at Lyon & Foster are an international luxury real estate company, helping home buyers and sellers as well as investors, whether they're buying or selling a home locally here in the Bay Area or abroad in a foreign country. So if you'd like some help or like to discuss those opportunities, please give the folks at Lyon & Foster a call. You can reach them toll-free at 855-367-4200. Again, 855-367-4200. Or you can email them at thepropertybeat@lyonandfoster.com. Again, that's thepropertybeat@lyonandfoster.com.
All right, welcome back. This week our guest is Jane Lott, founder of Silver Rain Estate Transition Services in Marin County. She's a member of the National Association of Professional Organizers. But when I read that, I thought of you, Lisa P. I'm not quite sure why.
Because I'm so organized?
Yeah, right. Okay, and specializes in estate organization. She also serves on the board of the Marin Senior Coordinating Council. She obviously loves and has a passion for what she does. We're excited that she's going to be able to share some thoughts with us today. And she is actually a returning guest to our show. She was on the show 2 years ago, almost within the week. It's actually quite exciting. Welcome back to the show, Jane.
Thank you, Cliff. It's great. I'm glad to be here.
You sound so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, Jane.
You sound like she's asleep still.
Well, Jane, as our listeners know, we'd like to have you tell us something different, maybe something nobody knows about you, something kind of, it could be a little almost R-rated, if you will. But my first question is, before you do that, I like to ask our guests, what are you wearing?
Oh, my
well,
God.
Well, knowing that no one was going to see me,
don't answer that question. Oh, Lord.
All right. So to give us a little, I'll let you keep your wardrobe to yourself right now, but I will call and ask you later on this morning. But anyway, why don't you tell us a little something about yourself that people may not know?
Well, the most important thing about me that creates part of my essence and my philosophy is that I am a longtime practitioner of the martial art of Aikido.
Oh, wow. Okay. And in fact, you're just not a longtime practitioner. You're pretty way up there.
Well, I have a third degree black belt.
I call that way up there.
So you could kick my fanny. Would that be correct?
No, she'd throw you around the room a few times.
Well, the nice thing about Aikido is that, and that's what makes it different than karate, is yes, I could do that, but because of the philosophy of Aikido, I wouldn't do that.
Oh, there you go. Well, yeah. Thank you very much. And by the way, I'm glad that you're on the other end of the microphone in some other city. That's good. All right. So then we can ask you all those personal questions that you'd like to share with your 40,000 closest friends. We'd like to remind our listeners, if you want to join in our conversation, you can simply call us at 415-431-8255.
Well, we'd like to just jump into some of these questions right now. For our listeners who really don't know about your company, can you tell us a little bit about something about your company and what exactly you do for your clients?
Yeah, what's that? What is that estate transition? What does that mean? Yeah.
Well, you know how in real estate, when you buy and sell a house, you're transitioning the real property, mm-hmm. and what we do is for the personal property, so the contents of the home, and not just for relocation, but for after someone's passed away and the property transfers from the owner to the beneficiary, for
mm-hmm.
example,
mm-hmm.
and it needs to be cleaned out, usually the beneficiary or the family, there's usually more than one, they want to sell or rent the property, and then the personal property needs to be cleaned out. The other thing we do, the third thing we do that's a major part of our business is clean out hoarding situations.
Mm.
So that's quite a problem in real property.
So like if this is so, I'm thinking about people that have been in their homes for 30, 40 years, and they've just mm-hmm. accumulated the crap that we accumulate in life.
Well, I'm thinking when you're talking hoarding, I'm imagining that you've got little pathways throughout the house, and you've got newspapers on one side and stuff they've collected on the other.
So have you seen them that bad before?
Oh, the little pathways are called in industry goat trails.
Goat
trails.
Oh.
How a goat clings to the side of a mountain?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's what these little pathways are. And, yes, I have seen it like that, and actually I've seen worse.
It must be really traumatic for the person that's used to. I mean, they must have gotten psychologically into a place that that's even allowed this kind of hoarding, and then to suddenly have someone come in to help them must be also a crisis for them in some ways.
That's what precipitates the change. Yes, if the person is still in the situation and somehow it's cleaning up now in the county where we're located in Marin County,
mm-hmm.
there's not a lot you can do to clean up a hoarding situation unless it becomes a health or safety issue, and then we practice what's called considering that the person who is in this situation is not what we would consider living by common standards, the common standards of health and safety. What we need to do is take care of them so that they're safe,
mm-hmm.
but not that they have a right to live by their own choice, mm-hmm. in their own manner.
Boy, that's got to be
so
challenging.
It's called harm reduction.
Mm.
But what often happens is that the family wants this to, if they're worried about their loved one, or usually what happens is a crisis precipitates it. There's a health crisis,
mm-hmm.
or some sort of safety crisis, particularly if they live in a common situation like a condo or an apartment building. And then the owner of the building or the condo association can get involved because it becomes a safety issue for the other residents.
Okay. How are you typically called into a situation? I mean, how does somebody reach out and even think that they need you, let alone find you?
That's a really good question, Lisa. A lot of people know that they need someone like us. They just don't know either that we are there to help or they don't know how to find us. And one way is, of course, a Google search or an Internet search. And the most common way is they're referred by a professional such as you and Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So if they decide to sell a house or they inherit a house and, you know, they come from out of town, for example, and they have a week to clean out the house from the market and whatever, a real estate professional will say, you know, why don't you get professional assistance in accomplishing this? And so and we get calls in, and it, you know, it makes it easier for everybody.
Yeah. How did you get into this business, Jane?
Yeah.
Well, it was quite a few years ago. I mean, I've always been interested in homes and more of the contents, the design part.
Mm-hmm.
And a few years ago, one of my Aikido friends who had already passed away, his wife passed away. She was 93, and she had lived in her Mill Valley home for 60 years. And so her house was quite full. And a friend of mine who had worked for her was cleaning it out, and he said, oh, help. I need help. I can't do this by myself. Can you come in and help? And I said, sure. And I felt, you know, this really good feeling of I can really help this woman.
But
it was kind of almost eerie. It's kind of one of those, like, Marin, you know, New Age kind of feelings where, you know, I could feel Virginia's presence.
Mm.
And she was really, you know, really happy that someone who was there who was taking care of things.
Yeah, I would think most family members. I know when my dad passed away, my brother was on a mission, just like, let's get rid of all of this. So we really didn't take the time to think about what we were going through. It was more of an emotional dumping, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's something I regret. It's like, you know, had we taken the time, who knows what we might have found.
Yeah,
right.
Interesting. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door?
All right, well, welcome back. We are here with estate transition specialist Jane Lott of Silver Rain Estate Transition Services. If you have a question you'd like to ask our guest, give us a call at 431-8255. Jane, there's a lot of us that are baby boomers who have parents that are aging, and we frankly need to downsize in their situation. And without telling them what to do and how to live their life, you know, what's the best way to introduce an idea of maybe moving on to a different lifestyle?
Well, the hardest part of being a child of someone who's growing older is the role reversal, because suddenly you're no longer so much the child as you're becoming the parent in a certain sort of a way. And that's a difficult role for everybody to negotiate. It's hard for parents to give up control. It's hard for children to... sometimes they feel disrespecting their parents.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think of it in terms of health and safety, what you're doing is best for your parents. And the example that I can think of that's most difficult, I think, is taking away the car keys.
Oh, yeah.
It's like taking away their freedom, right?
Exactly, and especially for men, you know, the car. I don't get this. I really don't get this about men and cars. So, you know. I mean, to me, a car is a thing to get you from here to there. And it's kind of like who they are. So you take away the car keys from your dad, and you've really taken away part of his identity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it becomes a question of safety and health issues, and oftentimes a question of cost.
Hmm.
So when you're introducing these things to your parents, Often it's precipitated by a health issue,
mm-hmm.
and it requires a lot of tact and diplomacy, which is hard to come by when you know you're related to somebody sometimes,
Go ahead.
Well, you know what I was going to ask? Yeah. Do you find yourself in a situation where the children just don't want to do any kind of intervention at all? They're basically afraid. And so you find yourself having to go in there and talk about taking
the
keys away from daddy?
Yeah.
Actually, I've had a number of people ask me about taking the keys away, and a number of people ask me about, you know, how do we deal with mom and dad. And because that's not really my specialty, I can give them advice, I can give them resources, but I usually refer them to someone who specializes in dealing with the geriatric, so a geriatric
mm-hmm.
case manager,
right.
or a company that will provide those services. They have registered nurses, they have clinical psychologists.
Or social workers or somebody that's their specialty. Yeah, interesting.
Exactly, Cliff, because although, you know, much of my work is, you know, therapeutic in a certain sort of a way, because things are touchstones for emotions and people, you know, they need to talk in an emotionally charged situation. But I'm not qualified to help them with a lot of things. So.
Yeah, you're opening Pandora's box.
Yeah.
So one of the best reasons for working with me is that I have pages and pages and pages of resources in my fancy little smartphone.
Mm.
And I say, oh, I know just the person to help you with that.
Oh, that's good. You're the problem solver.
There it is.
Yeah, that's exactly
She's
right.
Ray Donovan.
Only much nicer. Much nicer. Well, you know, folks may remember that you were on the show a couple years ago, as Cliff had mentioned. And what's the most difficult issue you have had to deal with in helping people through these transitions over the last couple of years?
Well, that's a difficult question because they essentially all boil down to one thing, and that is that you're dealing with loss, whether mm-hmm. you're, you know, the parents, whether you're the loved one, whether someone has died or you're moving into, you know, a retirement home, or whether you're the child. And even if you're renting the house rather than selling it, or, you know, it's just you're dealing with so much loss, loss of identity, loss of things, loss of mobility perhaps, loss of health. And so helping people reframe loss and helping them with the emotional component of that is the most difficult part of my job, I think. It's also the most rewarding, which, you know, I don't know how that works, but it goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
The things that are challenging, you get the most sense of accomplishment.
Yeah. That's probably true.
Yeah. Folks, we're going to be right back after a quick break. Welcome back, where we are talking to Jane Lott of Silver Rain Estate Transition Services. You know,
I wanted to piggyback on something you had just mentioned earlier. I was thinking about the parent or older person who's, you know, moving on to their next house or their, you know, where they're going to be staying. And psychologically, is it easier for them to let go of their home if they feel like it's going to be rented as opposed to being sold? I mean, maybe it's a two-step process. But as long as it's being rented, they still feel like they have some kind of control, or is that just?
I think that's true in a way with the possessions. I don't know how true that is with the home.
Mm, okay.
But with possessions, I find that when people are willing to, they know it's going to a good home, it's going to the granddaughter who's getting married and she's taking a china set, for example, or it's going the used den furniture is going to a homeless family transitioning into a new apartment, or one we just did, the whole apartment went to a young lady who was coming out of a treatment center, a drug treatment center, and a successful graduate of a local drug treatment center, and she was a single mom, and the son had told us to donate everything, and I think his mother, who had passed away, would have very much appreciated that. We found out that she was a substance abuse counselor.
Oh, how funny.
Oh, interesting.
And,
wow.
And just, we just happened to have this
that's really cool.
Person picked out. Yes, it was ironic in a good way.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, people like to know that their things live on after them, or that their things will do good for someone else, because they're still good. That's what they always say. Oh, you know, I don't want to get rid of that. It's still good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's true.
So what are the one to two things that you find most commonly as obstacles in dealing with seniors in transition?
Well, most of all, they don't really want to leave their home. That's the hardest part. So when we're talking about relocation rather than, you know, a probate situation, they don't want to leave their home. It's everything that's familiar. It's memories. It's their whole life. And most of them don't. Now, a rare few are eager to move on. They're tired of, you know, worrying about the yard and, you know, the maintenance and, you know, the big, huge house that they have to clean. But it's still a lost situation. And then the other thing is they don't want to let go of their things. And usually when they're relocating at an older age, they're moving into a smaller home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to fit 4,000 square feet into a 600 square foot apartment.
Yeah.
We
have an email question from Sandra in Chicago. She says, my mother just passed away and left me with a house full of furniture. I am overwhelmed. What do I do next?
Well, first of all, my condolences. And then I would recommend take a deep breath.
Yeah.
You know, the whole situation can be handled. One of the first things to do is decide what you want to do with the house, and that will guide you for what you're going to do next. Because if you're going to sell it, and you know we're in August, and you need to get it on the market soon, then you'll want to deal with your things sooner rather than later. Some people prefer to take a little more time, and I don't know the market in Chicago, but if you have the opportunity, the first thing you want to do is give the bequest to family members that whatever was in the will. The second thing you want to do, if depending how many people are involved, of course, and what relationship you have with them, is offer people to come and, you know, choose one thing. You know, it depends on who they are. If you have a cousin in Peoria and she happens to be coming to Chicago, or you happen to have a close relationship with her, you spent, you know, summers together, and there's a photograph or a painting on the wall that epitomizes that, ask her if she wants that. Give the family a chance to have a memory of the person who passed away.
You know,
Go ahead.
Well, you know, you're reminding us, and you know, I think those are, you're thinking very linear and a very nice, I can tell that you're used to dealing with this where you have to kind of guide people one step at a time. But you're really reminding us that, you know, we here we are at the Property Beat. We're about real estate, and we talk about real estate all the time. But it is, at the end of the day, the real estate is just a thing. But there's lifestyles and lives and histories and experiences that go on, and real estate is part of this consistency that's through this a person's life. Maybe they've been in this house for a number of years, and they've had lots of experiences with lots of friends, and there's personal belongings, and there's just this whole world that you get involved with, transitioning them on, whether it's in the case of Sandra, where she's lost a parent, or and maybe she was raised in that house, or she spent many times of joy in that house. You're just reminding me that it is about people at the end of the day.
Well, you know, and it's nice because it sounds like the way in which you go about helping these people, it's always done in a very peaceful manner. But, you know, in our business, I often hear that, you know, mom and dad pass away, and there now there's this huge adversarial position.
Yeah, that was the other side. It gets ugly.
How do you handle that when they're fighting like cats and dogs?
How do you handle the ugly people?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Cliff, thank you for that was very well said, and we do have a different perspective on real estate or on homes, I think, in that I see the home as a container for the things.
And interesting.
One of the difficulties in after someone's passed away, and one of the reasons that we're called in often is because of that adversarial situation, because an objective third party will give you facts to deal with or give you information to deal with rather than the emotion.
Hmm.
And so if you're fighting with your brother, and we have a situation now where the brother and sister are fighting over everything. If you're fighting with someone, it helps the lawyers to be able to have objective facts about things. So we came in and valued the contents of the home just as much as you would have an appraiser come in and value the home. And then you have something to sit down and talk about rather than, you know, mommy always liked you better.
Well, you know, it's reminding me of a situation where I went to a family friend of ours had died, and I went to their little kind of celebration of their life at the home, and you have these relatives there, and they're all standing in a room, and one relative suddenly says, "Oh, you know, he had promised me that."
Ooh.
And another one goes, "No, he didn't. He gave that. It's mine. I only lent it to them." What do you mean? And oh, my God. This horrible scene broke out, and I'm going, okay, I'll just go into the other room now.
Yeah. And that actually happened, huh?
Oh, it did. And it's funny because one actually started to pick it up and walk out of the room with it. And the kid goes, no, wait, you're not taking Pop's thing. You know, it's like, no, leave that alone. We'll deal with all this later. This is not the appropriate time. And it was like, oh, man, people do get ugly. And and you end up and you see these brothers and sisters go at each other's throat over things.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's just, as George Carlin would say, stuff. Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, my gosh.
George Carlin was fabulous. He nailed it.
He did. Your stuff, my stuff, we all got stuff.
Yeah, so, and it's just stuff.
Yeah, and during these transition times, so it's got to be emotional, you know, as we were talking about. How do you help manage some of the emotional aspects of these transitions with people?
That's a really good question. One of my practices is to manage the emotions in myself. Because you walk into a room, a home where someone has passed away, and there's often a really a sadness that permeates the air, and there's the feelings of the family members who truly love this person and are grieving. There's the contention that you talk about. There's undercurrents that haven't been spoken about, but they come from childhood, and you can feel the resentments. There's all kinds of emotions. Sometimes there's just a house full of joy, and it's a pleasure. Those are not common. So my practice is to control the emotions in myself and to be a calming influence so that the emotions in other people don't get out of control.
Yeah, you know, and I just hear that in your voice. You're just so calm.
Empathetic.
I like that. Yeah. You know, a few weeks ago we had an energy clearing specialist on the show, and she talked about lingering energy, which you've kind of touched on. When you're packing items up for someone who's passed on, have you ever felt their presence, you know, when handling their belongings?
Not the belongings in particular. Well, that's not true. Sometimes. When you go into a house, particularly after someone's passed away and no one's continued to live there, I remember working in a house in Tiburon. It was a three-story house, gorgeous view. It was a huge house, so it was a big job. And I was there. We always work in teams of two for safety reasons.
Oh, that's smart.
And I was upstairs, and the woman I was working with was off in another room. And it was starting to get dark. It was wintertime. It was starting to get dark. And I just felt these, like, the little hairs on the back of my neck. And it was kind of, it wasn't a bad feeling. It wasn't a scary feeling. It was just like, there's someone else here. And I felt safe. I felt like it was just someone who did, the house, it turned out, had belonged to a couple, and she really cared about the things in her house. She had spent her whole life, you know, designing the interior, doing things with the house. It, they all meant something to her. And I just thought, oh, maybe she's just here making sure I do a good job. But I do often feel it's, you know, people might say that I'm just, you know, New Age Marin, but I do often feel that. You know.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, folks, we'd like to remind our listeners, if you have a question you'd like to get in for with Jane here, give us a call at 431-8255 or tweet us at The Property Beat. We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back to The Property Beat, where we are talking estate transition with Jane Lott.
Jane, you know, when you're going through people's personal belongings like that, do you start to get a sense of who they are, and you're kind of getting a familiarity where you're starting to understand them more than you are the people that hired you, their kids?
Oh, very much so. Sometimes after someone's passed away, you walk in and things have, of course, been... because they're often older people, and things have been preserved, so to speak, because older people don't like change, and they've lived in a house for 30, 40, 50 years. And so we are, we are kind of like archaeologists, where you uncover these layers of, you know, here's last week's magazine, here's last month's, you know, newspaper, here's last year's
diary.
And you know, it goes back for decades.
Wow.
And there's personal things that that, you know, things that meant a lot to people then. For example, in high school, this woman had a whole scrapbook that came from her high school days of Hollywood stars.
Oh, wow.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was really interesting to me because I'm not a, you know, I don't follow the Hollywood, you know, the movie scene or anything. But these women were dressed in glamorous gowns. I could see why she was, you know, attracted to this. And it was like reading a history book at the same time as reading her biography.
Have you ever found, you know, in the age of television and Mythbusters and scavenger finders, have you ever found anything of great value that nobody really knew that mom or dad had?
Well, almost every time I walk into a house like that, there's, and it depends on what you mean by great value. I've found, you know, diamond cocktail rings that are worth thousands. I found, you know, pearl necklace. But I found treasures that, for example, in one house, the son was estranged from his father, from his parents, and I found baby pictures of him with his mother that were so poignant, knowing that story, and his mother had kept those hidden away because the father and the son were estranged. She had kept those hidden away so that only she had those memories.
Wow.
And yeah, it was, to me that was a real treasure, and it was really sad. What was even more sad is the son didn't want anything to do with it.
Oh, gosh. That's unfortunate. Yeah. Grow up, boy.
Yeah.
What advice would you give someone who's facing aging parents or relatives and their possible relocation of that parent?
Well, first of all, respect the fact that this is going to be difficult and respect the fact that, you know, these are your parents. And don't try and push it. So I would suggest starting yesterday. Find a really, really good real estate agent to help you with the practicalities so that the relocation and the move will go smoothly. Find a good place to move them to, which is it's not as easy as it sounds.
No, we've been through that.
Yeah. And then take as much time as you can to do this. So the longer you can take to do each step, the less pressure there will be on you and perhaps on your parents as well.
It's funny you say that, because I know that we've Lisa P's dealt with some clients in these situations where she's actually been in contact with them for a couple of years sometimes they can see that the transition's needed and it's coming down the road, and they want to try to get into a relationship with somebody that they can trust when it comes time, so they're not stressing out at the time that they need it.
Well, and I find, too, you just have to be very patient and not push, because they'll push back.
Yeah.
And it's also a trust thing. So I feel like, we'll do it on their time, and, I'm here for them. And I often say to them, don't do anything until you're really ready, because once they're ready, then it's going to go so much smoother.
Yeah.
So what's the strangest situation? I mean,
you've been doing this a while.
You've been doing this a long time. You got to have some gore stories. You got to have, what's the strangest situation you've ever had to deal with?
Well, you kind of put me at a mind, Cliff, because one of the things that the people can trust when they hire us is that there's confidentiality, we don't go around discussing our clients' business with other people.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, in general, people need to know that what they're facing is not uncommon, and that no matter how bad they think it is, for example, in a hoarding situation, we have seen worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, for me, one of the strange, now it depends on what you mean by strange, and there are things that I'm not going to tell you over the radio that I've come across,
Oh, come on. 3,000 of your closest friends.
My imagination is creative.
Yeah, now I'm really wondering. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, some of these things, if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Oh, there it is.
So I've seen some things that have puzzled me. A house where the man hand-dug the basement.
Oh, geez.
He dug the basement out by hand, and this was on a, fairly rocky piece of land, and he remodeled the basement and installed all this electrical outlets and everything. I had to wonder what he was, really.
So his wife gave him a honey-do. Honey, we need more space. Dig out that basement.
It's possible he was trying to escape from,
That was his man cave, literally.
Yeah, exactly.
I was kind of hoping that we were going to find a bunch of women's clothing in there.
Oh, in some guy's house. Yeah, that would be like, whoa, okay, Dad, what do we not know about you?
Well, I found things like that. But,
oh, good,
the strangest one, I think the strangest one for me was the woman who was buried under her pile of stuff.
What?
Dead?
She wasn't dead. Fortunately, she had an appointment with one of the neighbors, and they found her, I think it was 2 days later. And so she was rescued, but she had accumulated so much stuff. And, of course, it was a hoarding situation that...
Oh, no, it fell on her?
It almost killed her.
Oh, my God.
It almost buried her alive. She couldn't move. And, she had a health situation, and She was literally buried by her stuff.
So was it like clothing stuff or was it books, heavy stuff?
It was books. It was
heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, when your stuff kills you, that's not good.
No, that isn't. What did you die of? My stuff.
My stuff, yeah.
Talk about some baggage. What happens when you come back after your next life? You come back as your stuff?
You come back as stuff so you can get back and circle that karmic world. Oh, my goodness. All right, so what are the three must-dos for kids with aging parents? Give us your top three tips for them.
Well, there's the intrinsic tips and then there's the practical tips. The intrinsic tips are, you know, love, honor, and respect your parents. It goes without saying. But that being said, sometimes you have to put your foot down and say, you know, this really needs to be done. And that is take away the car keys when the time is right.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely make sure that they have a power of attorney for health care.
Mm-hmm.
If no, you know, they should have a will, they should have estate documents, they should have all of that. The most important thing is a power of attorney for health care. And then the third thing is to listen to them and share this journey with them, because eventually we're all going to...
Yeah,
we're all going there. Our stuff is only going to be someone else's stuff eventually.
Yeah, and you'll be able to learn a lot, and it'll ease your path when the time is right. And remember, you know, your children are watching you and learning by example, and you want them to treat you respectfully. So.
Uh-oh, we're really in trouble now. Well, you know, it's interesting because I think that so many times if there had been preparation done in advance, that, you know, things would have been in writing, especially where you have these disputes over the television, over a piece of jewelry, over that painting or whatever, where it would just have been nice if the parent had very clearly delineated, you know, that Joe was my favorite child and gets everything.
Yeah.
But at least that way it's them saying it, whatever it may be, however that division, and it's in writing and it's thought out. And
you know, actually, Chris, there's an even better way, although sometimes it's a little harder. My mom is doing this, and I really appreciate it. But one of the things I often get phone calls about this from women, from single women, but they want to gift things in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to know that they're going to the person that they
are. Right. Oh, yeah, in advance. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So now if our listening audience wants to get further information about Estate Transition Services or Silver Rain or you, how can they best reach you?
Well, you can call me on my direct line, 415-601-2613.
Uh-huh.
You can email us at silverraineets. That stands for Estate Transition, so silverraineets@gmail.com, or you can go to the website at www.silverraineets.com.
Great. Well, we'd like to thank our listening audience for tuning in to today's show, and thank you to our special guest, Jane Lott of Silver Rain Estate Transition Services.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jane. It was great. It was very informative.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to help.
No problem. And thanks to my co-host, Lisa P., and our engineer, Anthony. And if you want to hear the show again, you can download it on our website at thepropertybeat.com or on iTunes. That's it for this week.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Well, that's a wrap for this week's show. Thanks for joining us here at The Property Beat, where real estate is part of your life. We hope you've enjoyed this week's show and encourage you to come back next week when we've got yet another lively guest and more real estate conversation. If you'd like to check us out on the web, you can find us at thepropertybeat.com. For now, I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, along with co-host Lisa P., saying that's a wrap. See you next time on The Property Beat.